The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday. No, it isn't. It's Saturday. No, it isn't. It's Friday, November 5th, 2021.
Wait, am I the only one who saw that?
What?
What?
You are running at like 3x speed.
Yes.
I don't know what just happened there.
Yes.
Yeah, no. You were frozen, and then it just was like.
Shannon's breaking the time force over here.
I am that special.
That was bizarre.
This is a special edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted for the first time in a couple weeks. And no, you're not listening to an old episode. I am hosting tonight because our dear friend Asa is not feeling well. So he unfortunately could not be here with us, which is really unfortunate because I really wanted him to be. But I'll tell you who I do have tonight with me. I've got Double H is with us tonight.
That's what they tell me.
And the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo. Hey, we only need a Discord, right? Because you did a pause. Okay, because that pause scared me. I was like, should I be hitting record on something? Because I don't have it ready.
No, I got it. I got everything under control, big baby bird. Don't worry, I got you. So here's why we've gathered together tonight for the first Pro Wrestling Unscripted in a long time. And Hunter, I believe this is the first one you and I have been on since, oh God.
Since you left.
No.
Since you guys say, both
like
left.
A year and a half.
We did one.
It's been about a minute.
Summer and a half.
Oh yeah, so we did one special one. I want to say it was like WrestleMania or something, maybe. I don't remember. We popped into one. I remember that. It's been a while. The reason we're back tonight, though, is because I wanted to talk about. I knew I was going to get a chance to talk about this regularly, so I wanted to talk about it. The WWE did 18, I think it was 18, right? More quote unquote budget cuts yesterday. And
in the middle of record-breaking profits.
In the middle of record-breaking profits.
Interesting how that works.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. It probably won't be a full hour. We'll probably go about half hour on this, a little bit more. Just see how the conversation goes. But before we jump into that.
I can almost guarantee we're going to go almost an hour.
I'll tell you what.
I feel like there's going to be enough.
The classic Pro Wrestling Unscripted experience.
I will not.
Yeah, same.
Never mind. We won't. Never mind.
The classic Pro Wrestling Unscripted experience, if you've never experienced it, you don't know PW until you've been in the same room. And it's myself, and it's Dalton, and it was Allie, and we would be at a table, and we would all, me, Dalton, and Allie would look at each other as Asa talked for 2 hours, because Asa's so good at it, and we would just want to go home. We would just want to go home, but Asa was so good at it. That is the true PW experience. When you spend 2 hours plus talking about something, that's the real PW. Or you have Justin Smart on and you go 3 hours. It really depends on who you have on the show.
Justin's really bad about keeping it within time.
Justin wanted to break, what was it? Whose record? Was it Jackson? He wanted to break Jackson's record? Or Jason, one of them.
It was Jason, because Jackson never talked when he was on the show.
That's true. He was barely
Jackson
there.
Is a very quiet individual.
Hey, before we jump into what we're going to talk about here, really quick, tickets for the next Cape Championship Wrestling show are on sale right now. It's a Thanksgiving Throwdown. Excuse me real quick while I take a shot of whiskey. Okay.
That looks like the real throwdown to me.
I just...
throwing it down the back of your throat.
I just cut my finger on the bottle somehow. Wow.
That's not good.
Anyway.
That's not how that should ever work.
Also, your blood is thin because all that alcohol.
Not too much. I mean, I haven't. It's not that bad yet.
It will be.
Tickets going on sale today at 5 o'clock. They're already selling out quick, so if you're listening to this, make sure you get your ticket right now. I know a lot of you are at the AEW event live, so I should have thought that out better, because I'm like, man, this is going to be great. We'll talk about wrestling. I got a bunch of people that love talking to us about wrestling. This chat room is going to be filled. The chat room was filled before you got here, Hunter, and everyone told us they were at AEW, and then they left. So,
yes,
nuts to us.
That is true. Dalton's actually watching it on his phone right now. I can see him in his glasses.
I'm literally doing math right now.
Don't look
about things. Oh, I wish. What, huh? No. Anyway, so these WWE releases and Zemo's on the curtain again. This is why I hate recording in the living room.
What do you mean you wish? Just don't let your dreams be dreams.
just look at the porn. I could recommend a couple sites. What are you into?
No, we're good. Anyway, so WWE releases.
Oh, before we get to it, I do want to announce the card for Cape Championship Wrestling for Thanksgiving Hoedown. Mostly, it's I don't remember any of the matches other than Mikey versus Marco. That's exciting. You didn't know if you thought Mikey was never going to be on CCW again. Well, they didn't ask me. Also, we've got
have to go over there now.
Loss.
My planet needs me.
Loss L's and the Skimahorns. Which it's as soon
the
as I
was the Margoogly act.
As soon as I saw the Skimahorns, I was like, okay, so Mikey's on the show then, right? Because
Mikey was announced at the last show. They announced him like over microphone that he was gonna be at the last show.
Did was it at the end of the show?
It was at the end of the show, yeah.
I must have missed that. Yeah, Caleb, keep hitting me with that match list in the chat. That helps a lot. It's Los L's and the Skimahorns versus the Singularity. Trent Daniels and Peyton.
Oh, Trent and Peyton, yeah.
Yes, trending Trent Daniels. Little Bit defending the title against Reign Victoria. That's going to be exciting. Reign made her debut last month as she's coming back. Match I'm excited for. Reunited, and it feels so good. It's Dalton Anthony, Chris Slammer, Denzel Rollins, and a mystery partner who may or may not be me.
You tell me the day of the show. I'm used to that. Just tell me who my mystery partner is the day of the show.
He told me who it was today, and I don't know them at all. I'll tell you a little bit later. Going up against the Pinnacle, that's going to be Hollis Giroux, Ken Dang, and the Violent Association. Violence Association. Dang. Sorry, I've been drinking. That is Farmer Billy Hills and Big Bad Brackus. Also, we've got Brandon. Oh, I can't announce that yet. Never mind. I don't think they've announced it yet. Also,
it's fine. They're all at AEW.
They're all at AEW.
Nobody's here.
Somebody's going to check the Podzilla feed and be like, oh my God, PW.
Dropping news. The Crowleys versus Dangerous and Delicious. Yeah. Those are on sale right now. Dalton, really quick, congratulations.
On?
Just on being a good wrestler. You work really hard. The last show we were at, I'm really excited you and I get to work together on this. Like, I know it's kind of a one-time only thing right now, but I'm so happy that I get to come out with you guys. I get to manage you.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time, I'm pretty sure. I may have managed you once. Once?
Charleston right before the shutdown.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that we get to go out there together. Like I said, reunited, and it feels really good. I never got to do much with you guys in House 100, so this is really cool for me. So yeah, tickets are on sale right now. Make sure you pick them up. With that said, let's jump into the meat and potatoes of this, and that is the WWE's release.
Time really quick, just because I want to send a shout out to Mance Warner and Danhausen, who had both horrible leg injuries.
Yes,
last week. I'm waiting for Mance to get a GoFundMe because he definitely should also get one. Danhausen had one started. He needed $25,000 because of the surgery, the ER trip, and his the rehab he's going to have to do in America because his wife and his stepdaughter live in Canada. And during this whole time, he won't actually be able to go to Canada. So it was $25,000. It was $9,000 this morning. It's over $30,000 now. So that's awesome. Let's do that same energy for Mance Warner because, man, I love that fucking dude. He's awesome. But yeah, so get well soon to those two guys because I like watching both of them.
100% agree. Do you know Danhausen's good when even asshole Jim Cornette is a fan of him? Also, Caleb, thank you. Aaron Roberts is defending the Pure title against Joey O'Reilly and Jake Lander. That's going to be a hot match. Zach Kurgis says, I have to boo you, Shannon. No, you don't. That's as simple as that. No, you don't. Why? Because I'm with Dalton? Don't boo Dalton. Yep. No. No,
it's fine.
Dalton sent you well wishes today. All right. So, WWE released 18 wrestlers yesterday, and some of it is absolutely baffling. And it's not the first time they've done it. I think in just this year alone, they've released... God, I wish I had the stats on that. If one of you want to look it up and see how many people... Oh, Dalton, you know. Go ahead.
I can tell you how many people they've released since COVID.
Yes.
137.
Son of a bitch. Is that office workers and wrestlers or just wrestlers?
It's kind of throughout the board, but it's anybody that was on screen.
Right.
So that does include ring announcers, some backstage interviewers, some online personalities, but at 137 contracted workers through in WWE released since COVID.
And that's absolutely batshit insane.
Do you have the earning report from this, like, from like fucking 2 days ago?
No, I don't. Do you have it? I'm gonna take another drink of whiskey while you talk about it.
I don't. But if all 137 of those people, if all of those people were under $1 million contract, which none of them were, I don't think WWE still would have been making over $100 million in this last earnings report.
Well, Hunter, didn't you say that they posted like record sales or record?
Yeah, the most recent quarter was some kind of record breaking. I think it was since this all started. So.
Yeah,
they're not hurting for money. Like nobody who suggests that they're hurt. Oh, they gotta make some budget cuts because these guys' contracts are too intense. That was the assumption when Bray Wyatt was let go back in July too. And slowly but surely, it's becoming very clear that that's also probably not the case.
Yeah,
there were other issues there. Whatever, and the rumor mill is too much to try to keep up with. First, he's not well liked backstage, which is clearly a lie. There was some crazy thing going around about vaccination statuses yesterday. That was no part of me believes that can have anything to do with it.
Because if either of those two companies, the two major ones, is going to have a vaccine mandate, it's not going to be WWE.
Well, okay. Well,
I don't know that it was that necessarily. Just that there was something about vaccination status. I don't know that it was a mandate.
No, I don't think it was. It wasn't a mandate, but I think part of what it was that some of these wrestlers had not been vaccinated yet. And even though, you know, you would say my freedoms and that, you know, it should be everyone's choice, my body, my choice and all that bullshit. You also have to remember that this is a company that they can't work certain places if you're not vaccinated. Like you can't wrestle in Madison Square Garden if you are not vaccinated. So you have these talent that could not actually perform depending on where they go. So I'm sure that played a part in it. But yeah, I don't think that obviously the cuts weren't simply because of the vaccination status, because one of the people that they said was it was a vaccination thing was Nia Jax. Nia Jax put out a statement today saying she literally was never told anything about that. And I believe her. I 100% believe her. We're going to read you the names off here in a second of the people that released yesterday. But I think it's important. We were talking about the people that were released before. Was it just this year? Braun Strowman was released earlier. Bray Wyatt, who else was on that list?
Rowan was let go in that too, wasn't he? Like the bulk of the Wyatt family pretty much was let go along that time frame.
Well, Brody unfortunately passed away at that point.
Right, he was long
since
right.
Yeah, he was gone before COVID. And then, man, I feel like Rowan was well before this Bray and Braun. Because Rowan showed up at AEW for the Brody Lee Memorial Show.
Right.
So those two had already been gone. So it was Braun and Bray at the same time. God, there were some names in that one that I'm just...
Bobby Fish got dropped earlier around that time, right? He was one of them.
Bobby Fish, Adam Cole. Well, I mean, Adam Cole was kind of a different situation.
Cole was a whole separate thing.
Yeah. But, like, the important thing to note in all of this is that they're...
Iconics... Both of them.
Yep. They're hemorrhaging like contracts and talent like crazy for no reason. And they're doing the one thing that you would think they wouldn't want to do is giving these people a lot of chances to make other companies have exposure. Like Malakai Black, that was a big drop ball on somebody's part because that he is now going to be a top guy in AEW. If he's not already.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on that, but I agree and disagree with you. But before we jump into it, I want to read the names off real quick of who was released yesterday. I've got a list here. Katrina Cortez, Zeta Ramier, I don't know who those people are. Jeet Rama, Jesse Kamiya, Trey Baxter, who, you know, we all know as Blake Christian because we've worked with him before. Mia Yim, Ember Moon, Frankie Monet, who was the former Taya Valkyrie, Oni Lorcan, Scarlett Bordeaux. Is it Bordeaux or Boudreaux?
It's Bordeaux. They messed it up on 411.
Harry Smith, which is baffling. B-Fab, Eva Marie, which is baffling. Lince Dorado, Grand Metalik, Karrion Kross, which is baffling. Nia Jax, which is baffling. Keith Lee, which is super baffling. So those are the people that were just released yesterday, not counting all the people that's been released before. Of those people that were released, who do you think is the most shocking?
Keith Lee. No, shocking.
Trey Baxter.
That's still probably that one, honestly. No, you know what? Well, it's Smith. It's Harry Smith. The fact that they brought him in and basically didn't touch him at all, and
they didn't do anything with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with Trey Baxter because they're doing this big NXT like
youth movement.
Yeah, 2.0 thing, and they were putting him on. He was on NXT beforehand, and then once 2.0 happened, he was being spotlighted a little bit on it. You would think if you were spotlighting somebody, you wouldn't drop him 3 weeks later. I think 2.0 has only been happening for 3-4 weeks, and like here we are.
Aaron Cross was on Monday Night Raw getting spotlighted. Didn't you see that helmet? Oh. It was shining right off.
Oh my God! Well, Hunter, what did
and that's why. That's why Karrion Kross and Keith Lee aren't shocking to me, because they immediately, the second they went to the main roster, they immediately changed almost every little thing about them, and they weren't special anymore. That's the, like, Keith Lee in NXT was a special situation because Triple H let him be Keith Lee.
Hunter, I'm kind of curious. The second he went to the, go ahead, sorry.
The second that he went to the main roster, he wasn't Keith Lee anymore. They changed his gear, changed his like super fucking awesome music, and like wasn't letting him wrestle like Keith Lee, which I understand to a certain extent, but at the same time, you can only change somebody so much to when it's not the same person anymore. I forget the thing about the boat of, if you have a boat but you keep replacing parts of the boat, when do you officially have a new boat?
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're doing with these people. And they're like, well, we got to release them because they're not getting over. Well, yeah, because you're fucking changing what was over here, and you're just like, well, we're going to use this person, but then change everything about them.
But I think,
and they'll still be over. It doesn't fucking work that way.
Question is, what is the point? Because the easiest answer for why they're changing them up is, I guess there's two ones. Number one, to trademark things, right? Anything they can slap a different name on, they can trademark it if they come up with it. But the other, like, seemingly, I hate to say obvious, answer is that they just want their name on it. And when I say they, I mean Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wants his name and everything. He never wants somebody who didn't come from him to be a star. There are a handful of little exceptions who have managed to make that out. Goldberg, AJ Styles.
Yeah.
There's Jericho. The main two that really come to mind. Jericho, barely, man. I mean, just the name. They almost completely changed who Jericho was by the time that he got there.
For the better. I mean, one of the only cases.
I mean, yeah. For the better. Fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so rare that they, especially, you know, to be fair too, that Goldberg and AJ were both guys who were long since established under those names and long-term stars. These other guys were up and coming in the indies for the most part. You pull them in, you change them a little bit, you kind of mold them to be your thing. And that was fine in NXT. I mean, Keith Lee, Cross, both of those guys were pulling off a pretty successful transition to that style. There was no reason to call either of them up to the main roster when they did. There just wasn't. There was no reason to do that.
But they put both belts on Keith Lee just to have him leave less than a month later.
Yes, okay, so
it was the strangest thing. And Lee was the less egregious case of that. Karrion Kross came up, still the NXT champion. And it was never made clear, is he like visiting from NXT? Is he part of the Raw roster? He doesn't have Scarlett with him anymore, apparently, but then he goes back to NXT and she's still there. It's like they wanted to play two different people, but we're going to call him the same thing, and we want you to not recognize that this is the same guy, or maybe we do. I hate to make this comparison, but it's Ghostbusters 2016 all over again. This is a totally different thing, except we're going to reference all the stuff you liked about the old thing,
so,
but we're not going to actually do any of it.
My problem with talking about Keith Lee and Karrion Kross especially is when Keith Lee was brought up, even though like they changed his music, which I automatically took away some of his specialness because his music was part of him. That's a good ass song. They changed his gear. They made him wrestle in that really ugly, like not flattering outfit for whatever reason. They didn't let him be Keith Lee.
It was a singlet with athletic shorts.
Right.
I'm not even going to. They weren't even fight shorts. Those were just basketball shorts. And but then they kept changing it.
But it works for Angelo Dawkins. That's part of the gimmick, like him and Ford in the Street Profits. It kind of.
But the thing of it is, but with Keith Lee and like Angelo Dawkins is amazing. I won't take anything from him. But the reason that Keith Lee, his whole thing worked was everything, his gear. Like nobody his size should move like him. It's the same thing with KLD.
He's a freak.
KLD should never, he should never wear baggy gear.
Right.
I want to see somebody that looks that big. I get to see his impressive size, and the first thing Vince McMahon did was cover it.
But
and then the first thing that Vince McMahon did with fucking Karrion Kross was, well, make him job out to Jeff Hardy. And then cover his fucking face.
That's what I was getting to, is that with Keith Lee, when they brought him up, even though they changed some things about him, to be fair, he did, like, they really pushed him at first. He went real hard with Randy Orton. He got some big victories. Like, he looked good at first, and then they dropped the ball. But Karrion Kross, poor fucking Karrion Kross. I'm not even a Karrion Kross fan. I've always said Karrion Kross was okay. Scarlett Bordeaux was the one that was going to be the big star, because obviously Vince McMahon loves his hot blondes, and she was the smoke show. She's super hot. But Karrion Kross, they bring him up as the NXT champion. He was, like, undefeated. And then he lost his first match against Jeff Hardy. And then they sent him back to NXT where the fans shit all over him because he lost his debut match on Raw. Like, who thought that was a good idea? And they swore up and down, no, wait till you see the story play out, though. And the story play out was just giving him some bitch-ass Farouk-style gear, which didn't work for Farouk, and it damn sure ain't going to work for Karrion Kross if it didn't work for Farouk. And the reason they did that, in an interview, they said the reason they did that, it was Nick Khan said that the reason they did it was because they wanted to make something marketable. They could make this superhero style outfit for Karrion Kross, and now they could sell toys with him. And then they did nothing with it. They did absolutely nothing with it. He looked like a tool, and then he just disappeared. They never brought Scarlett Bordeaux up. She was the star. Oh, let me get some more whiskey.
I told you one of my favorite things about that earlier when coming out of that. Earlier today, somebody tweeted Karrion Kross and was like, I wonder if I could get that Karrion Kross helmet. And he responded, nobody wants that shit, brother.
He did.
So yeah. So here's the best part. Karrion Kross got an action figure whenever he was NXT champion. That action figure was hard as fuck to find. I couldn't find any time I found
now.
True, I got one, fortunately. But anytime I found that wave of figures, that was always the one that was missing. It's almost like people fucking wanted it. And it wasn't Gladiator Karrion Kross. Thank God that's never going to see the light of day.
Caleb in the chat says, Kross has all the tools to be a big star. Size, look, mic skills, so on. Bad booking, kill that. Caleb Carter from Four Sides Podcast, by the way, check it out. But he also said, due to poor booking of Kross, and I love her, but there isn't that much special about Scarlett. I disagree. Scarlett was like, yeah, she's another hot, like, girl, but, man, McMahon loves his hot women. And, like, this girl is, she had such a good look and a good gimmick. Her and Kross together, I always said it was going to be like Mark Marrow and Sable. Eventually, Sable outshined Mark Marrow. Eventually, she was going to outshine Karrion Kross, but neither of them got the chance. They didn't get the chance. Vince McMahon, of all the people he could let go, I could imagine him letting go Karrion Kross, but not Scarlett Bordeaux. Why would he let her go? There's some other ones on there that really surprised me. I said I was surprised they let Ember Moon go.
I'm half joking about this, but do we even know that he knew that she was there? Because they called up Karrion Kross. They never called her up in the first place. I'm not even convinced the man watches his own show, that he watches NXT, or at least not before it went to 2.0.
There's no way he watches his own shows. There's too fucking many of them. He has too many shows for him to even watch it. I'm not going to lie. I stopped watching WWE right before Big E got the belt. I watched a pay-per-view, and honestly, the first time ever, I felt like I wasted 3 hours of my life.
Yeah, it's bad.
I fell asleep.
It's bad. It
took you long enough.
It's real bad.
Me and Asa reviewed it, and he was talking about how good this, I think it was Damian Priest versus Sheamus versus somebody else, and I think it was Jeff Hardy, and he was like, yeah, it was like the best match on the card, and I was like, I fell asleep during it. Like, Sadie literally had to wake me up. And it wasn't that the match was bad, I was just beaten down for an hour and a half before it, and I wanted to take a nap.
Plus, it's just boring. It's formulaic. You can watch a WWE show, and it doesn't feel special. That's the thing. Like, when I was a kid, man, we would watch, you know, my dad and I watched WWF together. We watched the old Coliseum videos, and, like, everything felt special. It doesn't feel special anymore. It feels, like you said, it's like an endurance test at this point to see if you can get through the entire show.
And, like, this isn't going to become the pro AEW podcast moment, but, like, I'll give AEW credit. They surprise me. They put on shit that I want to see. I love people on the WWE roster. I think Roman Reigns is the best work of his career. Big E having a championship belt is amazing. Xavier Woods having the King of the Ring and then knighting Kofi Kingston. And like all of those three guys have a giant accolade to them. I love that. But I'm not going to watch a 4-hour show to get there.
Nope. I'm get the not, Cliff Notes version.
Thank God they put it on YouTube for me.
They're not exactly making, I mean, I know this is a long, old standing argument, but they're not exactly making a lot of new stars at this point. I mean, Damian Priest is doing all right, I guess, but, you know, the New Day is great. The New Day has also been around how long now?
5 years.
How long did couple it take years. Hey, let me tell you, let me read you a couple names real quick.
Feels longer than 5 years, man.
Hunter,
2016, it was if 5 or 6 years. I think it started in 2015.
Because they've been there.
I don't think it became.
No, look it up.
They've been there longer.
It seems longer than that.
They've been there longer, but as a group, I think he's right. It's only been 5 or 6 years.
Nope, you were definitely right, Hunter. It has been longer than 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Timeline wrong. That's what I was saying earlier. Hunter was definitely right.
Yeah, I just realized I had a New Day shirt in college. Fuck off, Shannon.
It's July 21st, 2014 was the first time that they debuted as a group.
Hunter,
I'm looking at it.
Hunter, right. you said they don't make new stars, and I'm curious. Let me read you a couple names real quick, and let me tell you if you think Keith Lee, Karrion Kross.
That would have been a good one. Yeah,
what a great bunch of new stars they could have made there, and they didn't.
They cared about the first 2 or 3 years of the NXT brand. They moved up people, and those people are still stars today. Your Sami Zayn's, your Owens, your Balor's, the New Day minus Kofi. Like, they used NXT properly, and then they kind of didn't. You had people that didn't really want to go to the main roster, and when they did, they were getting shit on constantly. Look at the Ascension. That was one of the coolest tag teams NXT ever had.
Oh, and imagine if they had managed to not screw up the Ascension long enough to get Karrion Kross in there, too. Put those guys together.
He looks like them.
That would have been a good stable.
He looks like
them. Authors of Pain.
Oh, I forgot about them, but they were hot as shit, and then nothing.
I'm going to be real with you. I always hated that name, but it is a real shame that those guys didn't get a chance to do more. The idea that they were going to be Rollins' muscle when he first turned heel again, that was going to be really cool. And then, nothing. Well, if I remember correctly, one of them got injured. And then from there,
that kind of ruined it, yeah.
So
Samoa Joe, that's another one that they... gave it back, and then fumbled again.
I want to point something out real quick. A couple things in the chat. Owens just looks like he doesn't want to be there anymore. A lot of those guys look like they don't want to be there anymore.
That is the answer why.
It's almost like all of these guys' friends are working at another company, and they don't look fucking miserable.
Kurgis,
close to leaving. If I remember correctly, it's either December or January. He's the one that started sending out all the stuff about Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Him calling
There, his location was almost there, and then the Bucks location was there.
Yeah,
and then he said
that was fun.
He tweeted the
Mount Rushmore.
Kurgis says, "Remember Maven? No." And then also
Maven is making an indie resurgence right now, and I'm fucking here for.
Finally quit his QVC job?
Yeah.
QVC. That's what Maven sounds like. He brought up something I want to just really quick mention. They do some really good stuff with Roman and Lashley and New Day and RK-Bro and Becky, but the bad really sticks out. Example, the turnbuckle break. That is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen.
It was that fucking show that made me quit watching.
Oh my God.
It was that fucking show.
The only good thing that came out of that was the Botchamania where they do the back and to the left as Finn Balor falls over.
I remember watching it and the heartbeat music came and he like flopped and I literally laughed and said they ruined the demon for me.
Yeah,
that's
the
cool.
Demon got beat by turnbuckles breaking. Oh, really? All right, there's more.
They
here.
Never explained it.
Eva Marie. They let Eva Marie go. Like, I'm not the biggest Eva Marie fan. I always say give her a chance, but the fact that they literally brought her back for a couple weeks, did nothing with her. And then let her go for no reason at all. Like, it's like they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, they're literally just throwing darts at a board, and it'll hit a name, and they'll go, oh yeah, Eva Marie, bring her back. We'll put her with Doudrop, and then do that for 3 months, and then just let her go for no reason at all. Nia Jax.
I get like irrationally angry every time that I hear that name. Dewdrop. That name change.
Dewdrop. Yeah.
So stupid.
Because Piper Niven is a cool fucking name.
Yeah.
Piper Niven is
How many times have I seen people, like, don't get me wrong, I actually kind of liked Oni Lorcan. That's not a terrible name. It's kind of goofy. He's kind of goofy. The man's name is Biff Busick.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's what he's been going by. And you passed. Okay, I'm sorry. Pretty much any time that you have alliteration, go with it. I've been doing it for 26 years and it's going great.
And his name was Biff.
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 Tell me the Biff crowd wouldn't Busick. Chant Biff.
Biff. Biff.
Biff. Yes. Biff. Biff. It's fun right fucking now.
I don't like Nia Jax. I've never liked Nia Jax. But you talk about.
Oh, whoa. Wait a minute. That's a hot take right there.
But
are you kidding me?
Oh, I disliked her before everyone else did. And
all right, hipster.
But even with that said, like, you talk about dropping the ball on somebody. Like, yeah, she was never my favorite. But letting her go shocks me. Like, she just beat Charlotte not too long ago. She's been in these big time feuds, and then now she's gone for no reason at all. Well, like you said,
she and on the dartboard, she and Shayna Baszler were right beside each other,
and they hit her
a little bit. It went back into the left. That was the thing. If it'd gone all the other way, it would have easily been Baszler, who they've also ruined on the main roster. I have no idea.
Right away. They ruined
her. How she still has a job. I don't know how she still has
a job. She was a fucking vampire. She was a goddamn vampire.
If Alexa Bliss has any sense, you know, she got married to Ryan Cabrera really recently, and I think she's mostly been gone just because of that, if I remember correctly. Just like float away. Just they're gonna call you in a couple of weeks and be like, "Hey, you coming back?" And she'd be like, "Who this?
I'm on the moon with Don Cornelius. Yo, bye, bitch.
We're playing golf. Don't call me again."
Frankie Monet is another. Like, you bring Taya Valkyrie in. Her husband's still there, John Morrison.
Her husband is still there.
They don't do jack shit with, and they don't do jack shit with her. She's incredible as Taya Valkyrie. She was incredible, and then you repackage her as Frankie Monet. I love someone on Twitter today.
It also could have worked.
It could have worked, but they
could have worked.
They tweeted about her. They said that she didn't do it. She didn't really do anything on the roster. And she said, "I did what I was told. That's what you do when you have a job." And they just didn't do anything with her. Mia Yim is an incredible talent. They let her go. I don't know anything about B-Fab,
don't get me wrong. Mia Yim was part of that incredible stable Retribution. You know, the one that was going to run the entire show. They were going to break things down, and I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with it.
There's nowhere to go.
They set an air conditioner on fire and broke some doors.
And then they went full Tusken Raider and were like,
and then in maybe the dumbest logical like leap that they've ever possibly come up with, when the draft came around, when Retribution was a thing, they were drafted and they agreed to accept contracts to stop attacking the shows.
Stop, you're killing me.
They just, that's what they agreed to do.
Oh.
And then they came in and they renamed Dominik Dijakovic, another guy with an incredible freaking name and look. They renamed the man T-Bar.
T-Bar.
Or whatever he is. Is he T-Bar? Look, which one is he?
He's T-Bar. T-Bar. There's Mia Yim.
Nope, not Mia Yim. That's Reckoning.
I was going to say, I can't even remember what her stupid name was. Reckoning.
So in this same Elite wave, give me a second. This one hits pretty hard for me. Because Elite 90 has two people that aren't in contract anymore. So that also tells me good luck fucking finding these figures.
Well, like Caleb,
they let go of Bronson Reed.
Caleb Carter said earlier they've released half of the 2K20 roster at this point. That was the last game.
Oh, yeah, man. If you're a 2K22 dev right now, you gotta just be crying.
You're just
every day,
just biting your fingers constantly.
It's that old Al Bundy thing where the kids are stuck in the shoe store watching him, and Al just comes in, clocks in, and goes
for hours.
He's just there for like 6 hours. He gets up, he eats a sandwich, and then when he's done, he just the worst.
Who got released today? Who do we have to take out of the game this time? The 2K22 roster is going to be 8 people. It's going to be Retromania Wrestling. That's the only people they've
and
got.
That'll still be just not fun.
Oh
well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Well, Dalton, didn't you hear it? Just it's different.
I was so excited for that game until all these releases. But, like, I guess the only really good thing about this WWE just hemorrhaging talent is that, like, even during a pandemic, indie wrestling right now is kind of in a really cool loop where we're getting a lot of really good, seasoned, talented people that are actually able to go work places.
Yes. Okay. But here's my problem with that. Like, oh, go ahead. Then I'll make my counterpoint.
Well, like, because think about it. 10 years ago, Zack Ryder, like, Matt Cardona only was going to work for WWE ever. That's what we all assumed. He was going to be a WWE lifer. Nothing wrong with that. Now he's out here working every weekend. Dude's hustling hard. We're getting people like that. We're getting people like Brian Myers. Give it 30 to 60 days from now. The indie scene is getting nuts. Bronson Reed is another person that's itching to get out there. I'm excited to see Jonah Rock back on the indie. Like, these are people that are going to be able to, that have now that WWE seasoning, but able to take it into the indie world. That's only going to make everybody better.
Yeah, but my problem with that is that there's too many. Like, back in the old days, when a big name would get, like, if there was a situation where, like, a Bray Wyatt got released or Braun Strowman, and you had one guy, maybe two or three, every couple of months or a year, the big names that are getting released, you knew they were going to go somewhere spectacular. They were going to do all this stuff. But when you're releasing 18, 20, 30 of these stars at once, where do they go? Like, they can work the indies, sure, but they're not all going to get signed by AEW. They're not all going to get signed by Impact, and they shouldn't be. AEW is already bloated. They're so bloated, they have three shows per week and hardly ever the same wrestlers wrestling on each show because they have too many people as it is. They cannot sign all of these people. Eventually, it's going to get to
a call
point.
That...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's a... Like... But when you're running a show like that, that's a good problem to have. Whenever you're actually showing your talent on these different shows, you just said the very key word in that. Not the same people working the same show.
Yeah, but they
all of those rosters are different. We had a brand extension and still saw the same eight people.
That's true.
And you're still going to. No matter what they do, that's not going to change. Shannon,
at least
if you're
with
AEW, people getting work, it ain't going to be a problem, man, because AEW is not the only option. Don't get me wrong. I know ROH is going on their little hiatus after December and everything, but you still got, I mean, GCW, first of all, up and running and mentioned more than once.
Where Chris, Blake Christian's going back to.
Impact is still a completely viable option. It may not be what it once was, but it's still out there and they're still
It's building back up. It's been building back up for a couple years now. It's not the joke that it was.
You know, a lot of these people are not just going to, like, rest on their laurels and just wait for somebody to call them. They're going to be running around doing the indie circuit. They're going to go overseas. They're going to do stuff in Japan.
Good.
They're going to do stuff in the UK. They're going to do stuff in Mexico. I don't, you know, don't call me Nostradamus here or anything, but I don't think any of these people are going to have trouble getting work, especially because there are so many other viable options now, too. They don't necessarily have to do that. How many of these guys have transitioned into doing mocap work, doing Hollywood stunt work? And then sometimes do that and come back to doing wrestling afterward. There's more interest in the fringes of the business. I mean, Dark Side of the Ring is a perfect example than there ever was. It's not always just, I just want to go watch a wrestling show and that's all there is. There are, you know, scripted shows about wrestling like Heels. There are the documentaries like Dark Side of the Ring. There's all this other work that utilizes these people and those same skills in different ways. They're going to be all right. It's a shame that it didn't work out in WWE the way that it probably should have. I guess it sounds a little entitled to say it should have. It just is baffling that they keep some of the people they do and let go some of the others. But they're going to make it.
But I don't think they're all going to go to AEW. Just really quick, Dalton, really quick, and I'll get right to you.
No.
They can't all go to AEW. The first thing that I saw is everyone saying, oh, AEW is about to get an influx. And, like, they don't need any more influx. AEW is booked. Like, they are so – they have the most ridiculous roster I've ever seen in professional wrestling. There are so many names on here that would be great in AEW. But at some point, you know, it's going to overflow. You're going to have the people that have been there since day one. A lot of those guys I could see just not working much anymore, because if you've got – Adam Cole coming in, you don't need some of the guys that you had originally back before you had all the super talent. And that's kind of a shame, but I get it. I mean, everyone does it. You know, it's you push the big guys. But I feel like I hope they do go to Impact. They do go to GCW. They do go to Japan and places like that. But not everyone needs to go to AEW. That is for goddamn sure. Dalton. Hey,
I legitimately don't, sorry, just real fast, don't think that too many of these guys are probably going to go. I feel like Keith Lee and Mia Yim would be good AEW fits. But outside of that, Cross and Scarlett are a very impact-like talent. I can see them 100% going back.
Ember Moon.
Going there and doing things there. Ember Moon is very much an impact-like talent. I don't know. And I don't have any really, like, you know, logistical basis to put behind that. I can't say, well, this is why they should. It just, it's instinct. To me, it seems like they would fit in better there. Oni Lorcan is a GCW guy. Biff Busick is GCW all the freaking way. Like, Biff, he fits that. Throw him up, man. Biff. He fits that perfectly.
Biff.
So, go. And this is like, and I mean, this is a big part that I think me and Asa in one of the last PWs we did, I was bitching about WWE's contracts. B-Fab, who was part of Hit Row, which, by the way, I love that they just called up Hit Row to release her. She signed a contract. Now, this was reported. This could be wrong, but, like, again, it could be right, and if it is, fuck me harder. She signed a new contract less than a week. Wow. I forgot where I read that, but I did read that she just signed a contract within a very short time. I believe I heard 6 days ago, and that was yesterday. So, like, a week ago, she signed a contract, and they let go of it. And this is the problem with WWE. Their contracts are bullshit. Right. They make a lot of people really rich doing what they love. But fuck, that contract that you make people sign, and you say, you can't work here, you can't work there, you can't do this, you can't do that. We don't have to give you insurance, by the way. And when you fill out your taxes, you're an independent contractor, so fuck off. You can do all this. She signed a contract 6 days ago. And they can just say, fuck it.
Yep.
And that's why Dax Harwood, I'm pretty sure it was Dax Harwood, had the biggest... Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they need to unionize. Dax Harwood from FTR, I believe it was Dax. It was Get Out of Cash. It was one of the FTR. Last night had the best tweet that I think I've seen in a while. It was totally incorrect and unfounded, but it was amazing. It said, I wish WCW would have won.
Yep.
That broke me.
And Eric Bischoff agreed. Who would have thought?
Well, I mean, but let's not forget that Eric Bischoff was FedEx firing people. Like, while they had, like, broken necks and shit.
Bischoff was also just kind of letting anybody do whatever they wanted and guaranteeing them an awful lot of money.
Uncle Eric?
He just, when he says, I wish WCW would have won, and Eric Bischoff was like, yeah, me too. I kind of want to go, not you. We're not talking to you. We're talking to the idea of this coming, not you. Get out. This thing is what we want.
Honestly, the last 20 years of wrestling, of just having that monopoly, WWE, really hurt everything more than helped it.
I agree.
And this is very much
how monopolies work.
Yeah, and like this is kind of ever since 2016, 2017, we've really started to see the cracks in that system because this, like, you got to think Bullet Club 2017, 2016, like Balor and all that. Well, I guess a little bit earlier than that, 2014. But like wrestling started getting popular again. We're starting to go through this Ring of Honor. Like I was at Mania 30. Or whenever it was either, do I want to go to NXT New Orleans or do I want to go to Ring of Honor Supercard? And I'm like, Cody Rhodes versus Kenny Omega. There was a real legitimate option being built. And we all thought it was going to be Ring of Honor, and then AEW shows up. And now we're really starting to see, when you're doing a side-by-side comparison, which isn't totally fair, but like people are doing it, of how AEW conducts themselves and WWE, you're really starting to see how shitty one is compared to the other. Not saying that AEW ain't there, obviously not, but... AEW, I can maybe, like, people that they have released that were contracted workers, like, fully contracted, I'm not talking about people that came in the dark, I'm talking about people that were signed to fucking AEW contracts. I can count on one hand the amount of people there anymore. One of them was for a really good reason, and the other one, they just kind of stopped being there. WWE 137. They let an entire... Main Street. You could build a new WWE
during a
fucking pandemic when they were the only fucking people doing it.
People get in this idea of like, oh, you know, well, now that that's over, it's not over. Not even close to over.
You're right. No, and I should have mentioned that.
They're still dropping them. Yeah.
You could build a new WWE with the fucking people you have let go. And honestly, would probably be more entertaining than the current WWE you have.
Yeah.
To this day, it blows my mind that we got... I hate to be the guy that brings up the attitude era, because it feels like every time, you know, you get into an online argument, you're just counting the days until Hitler gets mentioned. any wrestling argument turns into, like, how long are we waiting for the attitude era? But at that time, there were... And I mean, okay, the tail end of it, when we introduced SmackDown, SmackDown's 99, if I remember correctly, right?
Yep.
So at that time, you had... And SmackDown was 1 hour? Was it 2 hours? I can't remember when it debuted. Was it 2 hours?
2 hours. It was 2 hours.
I think it was two hours, yeah.
So the both shows were 2 hours. So you had about 4 hours of mainstream content total. You had, you know, what, a couple of, like, Saturday night shows that were... You had to go out of your way to watch those.
Velocity. Only, fuck you, Hunter.
Right.
Jacked.
I didn't say I didn't do it. I just said you had to go out of your way to do it.
Velocity was Ruthless Aggression. You're thinking of Sunday Night Heat. Again, fuck you, Hunter. That was an amazing show.
I mean, Sunday Night Heat, well, that one you didn't have to go so bad. And that was also sometimes just like half an hour. It was on MTV for a while. My point is, you had 4 hours of primary weekly content, and I still never felt like people weren't getting highlighted. If you had them hired, you put them on the show when you did stuff with them. That got rotated out. I mean, yes, there was an era toward the end of it that we all remember, the McMahon-Helmsley era, where it felt like every show started the exact same way with all of them parading to the ring in a big, long promo. But for the most part, you had regular usage of talent who all had something to do. They all had something to do. The undercard was interesting. There were stories. It wasn't all necessarily geared around titles, but sometimes it was and sometimes it wasn't. And in any case, it was all fairly unique. I cannot watch the current product. Actually, when I do make a point to sit down and watch the product in any form or fashion, it's AEW now, and it's because it still feels like that. People talk about they want the attitude there back so badly. That's where it's happening. Yeah. Now, if all you want is the blood and the sex, I can't help you there. I'm sorry. But
you get that every fourth show.
If you want the actual feeling of that era, this is where it is, because these guys have something going on up and down the card. Matches don't just happen at random. They feel important no matter who's in them. I can't watch WWE anymore. Because none of it feels like it ever matters. Nothing feels like it matters.
None
of these characters make sense to me. Sometimes there's not even really a character. Like, some people are just themselves and some people are not, and no part of it makes sense. I cannot wrap my head around who this product is for anymore.
I think the only thing that bothers me about AEW is the fact that, like, I like Kenny Omega. I don't really like the Young Bucks, but it's whatever. But because they started this...
the other way around.
You could still feel what a hold they have on it when Kenny Omega's the champion, the Bucks are still, like, the tag team to beat. And I think if they weren't there, I would be all in on AEW. And I don't know why I feel that way. I guess the nepotism, it just feels like nepotism in a way, and I hate nepotism. But but with that said, AEW is the only thing I will watch at this point. Like, I'll watch clips of WWE, but AEW is just so much better in so many ways. And you know, a lot of people don't like Jim Cornette. I like Jim Cornette sometimes. And even he says, you know, that WWE is just handing the war over to AEW. He has praised AEW quite a bit in the past few weeks. Rightfully so. AEW is doing such a better job at wrestling than WWE. And then that brings me to my question. And Dalton, go ahead, then I'll ask the final question before we get out of here.
It's also super important to know what AEW has done in the last 2 years that WWE hasn't.
Been good?
I mean, okay, no, take that out of it. They got, I mean, I'm wearing the shirt, but they got CM Punk back into wrestling, and actually back into wrestling, not in some Fox
Sports
TV
broadcast
Fox show.
Bullshit, yeah.
They
Which
got
they're also
CM
not
going
to want him to do very long.
They got CM Punk back into wrestling whenever we thought that was just a fucking pipe dream. They got Martha Hart to agree to a contract for Owen's likeness. There's a lot of shit that AEW was able to do because they don't have the stigma of not ideal business practice.
Right.
So, like, say what you will about AEW and the way that they conduct themselves and, like, not being TV wrestling, as Cornette would say, and being hokey and shit, they're doing more good for the wrestling business right now than any other place.
Yeah.
They are popular. Like, the wrestling boom that started 3-4 years ago, AEW took that ball and is running with it so fucking hard. If you want one of the coolest long-term stories, it's wrapping up in like 2 days. I think at Full Gear with Hangman Page. Like, they are doing everything so correctly. I'm not going to say right, but I will say correctly.
No, you
they're
right.
Doing everything, like, they are doing everything so properly to be a good wrestling show and still have wrestling for our fucking generation. Like, it's not headlocks and all this. Like, don't get me wrong, I understand a lot of people don't like the choreographed stuff, but not all that. It's a variety show of wrestling.
Yeah.
And you don't get that with WWE.
They haven't had any invisible men on yet. No sex dolls. So I'm still with it. So my question, is,
Sting's around.
Oh, the Crow? He's still the Crow. why is WWE doing it? That's the important question, I think. A lot of people are asking, why are they doing this? And I just want to get your opinions. Why are they cutting? Why are they making these budget cuts? They clearly, like you said, Hunter, they don't need the money. Their profits are fine. So why are they cutting? I could see some of these people. Some of these people are low-level people, like Trey Baxter. Like, I like Blake Christian. But, like, I could see why they would cut him. He's a young guy. He hasn't been there very long. But when you cut a guy like Braun Strowman, or you cut a guy like Keith Lee, or, you know, Samoa Joe before Triple H went, wait, you fired who? And then hired him back immediately. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, you did what? I was in the bathroom.
Did you ever hear that story really quick?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he got cut, and then Triple H is like, hey, I'm in a meeting. I'm going to call you back in like an hour. And then, like, within that hour, like, within a couple hours of getting cut, he was saying, hey, you're going to get re-signed. Just give it a second.
So why are they doing this? The big rumor is that they're going to sell, that Vince is selling the company. But Nick Khan also, he said, yeah, we'll entertain any idea. I personally, like, I know Vince McMahon's a piece of shit. Like, for all the good WWE does, and they do some good, like, let's not be dishonest. They have a wellness policy. They are very interested in the health and well-being of a lot of their talents. They do a lot of charity. They do the tribute to the troops. They do good things. WWE does good things. With that said, I still think Vince McMahon himself is kind of a garbage bag wrapped in a piece of trash. I don't know how that works. And Nick Khan, I don't even know who the fuck Nick Khan is, and I hate him. I already hate that motherfucker. Dalton, what were you going to say?
WWE does nice things, like that one rich guy in your town that does everything for a tax write-off. That's how anytime WWE does something that's even remotely good, I'm like, are they getting a tax write-off for this? That's how I feel. Because, like, we in my hometown, there are rich people that do, like, sponsor things. But then I'm like, that's a fucking tax write-off. So you're not really doing it to, like, be a good person.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, they do those Tribute to the Troop shows, and then, you know, they do a couple of shows in Saudi Arabia. You get paid billions of dollars for it.
Oh, so, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
It's the yin and the yang, but not the yim, because they fired her.
Damn it. So why are they doing it?
It just came from old Mr.
That was solid. It was good. I think they're doing it because they don't see. They're not looking around. Like, they're not looking at the grass around them. They're like, we are wrestling. That's how Vince is. That's what, like, Jericho talked about. Vince doesn't know about anybody outside of the WWE circle.
Do you think he's only worried
about his? I mean, arrogance. Yeah, nobody's a competition. I can let these 18 people go. They're not doing anything for me. They're not going to do anything for anybody else. Now, that bit him in the ass one time with Cody. Like, let's just be real. That was a fuck. That, like, if you could go back and redo one thing, don't let go of that fucking guy, because that ended up biting you.
I'm sorry, but, Stardust.
Like, I think he would have. I think when his contract expired, he would have just left anyway. But true. I certainly didn't help that it happened sooner. Like,
yeah,
the sooner it happens, the worse it is.
I don't think WWE is even considering. Like, again, they're not going to fail despite themselves. They make so much fucking money, hand over fist, and it's not because they do good wrestling. Like, that's why they can do whatever they want, because they're, like, they're working off the money that they said Ted Turner was working with.
Yeah.
They are WCW now, guys. If you're listening, that's the big fucking wrestling. They can do whatever they want because they have so much fucking money.
I don't know. Tony Khan. There was a
reason that they took... Go ahead.
I would say Tony Khan's also got a lot of money. His daddy gave him a lot of money. And Tony Khan also lately has been running his fucking mouth to the point that, like, I wish he would shut up. Like, he's getting really arrogant in their success. And, like, part of me loves it Because it's like, yeah, fuck WWE. I'm glad he's sticking it to him. But part of me also worries that could turn on him at some point. Go ahead, Don.
You are misinterpreting my they. WWE makes a lot of money. I didn't say shit about the McMahon. I don't know about AEW's earnings. The Khan family is way more money than anybody can count. I'm saying WWE makes so much money for itself that it's self-sustaining. It's an organism.
At that's true. Point.
Like, it doesn't have to worry about it. They can do whatever they want because WWE is going to make money despite themselves. I'm not watching WWE product, but they just got $50 from me.
So
and
Dalton,
they get $50 from me a lot.
Dalton, so answer the fucking question. Why are they doing this? Give me a straight answer. Just tell
me
the truth.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's why they're doing it. They can do whatever they want. As long as they have 10 people, they can have a wrestling show. So they don't need all these people.
Sports entertainment.
I was going to say leaves out part of the answer, but I'm going to piggyback on that because it supports my answer. And that is that this is not anywhere near as new as we're playing out to be. So let's set aside the selling theory for a second because that's still on the table. But I do think that that's, I keep saying, oh, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. But for me, it's almost, that's like fan fiction. Like somebody floated that one idea and we're going to keep doing it until they actually do it, which it's just Impact all over again. Oh, TNA's going out of business. TNA's going out of business. And then they never really did that until it was some form or fashion. But this whole thing of they can do whatever they want, I'm going to change it on you too. In this case, they is also the McMahons. They can do whatever they want, more specifically Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. And it comes back down to the same thing that they've been doing for years now. If Vince doesn't see anything in a particular person or a gimmick or a story or whatever they're doing, it's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter how popular it is. It doesn't matter how much they care about it. A couple of times they have gone back on that. Daniel Bryan, of course, gets fired over the infamous tie incident, ends up making his way back, becomes a huge deal. But at the same time, and I know I've mentioned this on this same show before, that whole WrestleMania, the whole WrestleMania 30 thing, that wasn't because of Brian. That wasn't for him. They needed to erase Chris Benoit. They needed to take that away, and now they can show this instead of that. It's the same idea. They just did it to push a thing that they needed out of the way and make a bunch of money on this guy. They didn't care in the aftermath. They didn't care about him. He gets, you know, taken out. He's no longer around for a while. He comes back. They barely capitalized on him coming back. All of the stuff that he did as a heel champion in 2019, that was all his 18. Idea. And he had to, 18, 19, he had to fight for it like crazy because Vince McMahon didn't care about him.
Yeah.
There's that infamous clip of Vince McMahon saying, you know, whatever we do it for the fans. We listen to the fans and we hear what and it's bullshit. If he's that's ever bullshit. Said anything that meant nothing, that's what it is. Because ooh. Again, if he sees nothing in them, nothing's going to happen with them. Charlotte goes out on national TV, a couple of weeks ago, and gets into this now infamous petty little squabble over how she thinks she's going to get look weak handing over a belt that means nothing for another belt that means nothing because of the way that the whole segment is scripted. Like, nobody's going to look weak. The whole thing just looks stupid. So she's right on that front, but right for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. She doesn't get punished or anything. She's reportedly, like, security goes with her when she, they didn't escort her out of the building. They didn't grab her by the arm and drag her out. She left the building and probably some security guys were walking around to make sure that things were amicable. She comes right back. Nothing happens. Meanwhile, a guy like Keith Lee goes through what he's done for what the better part of almost a year now. Gets called up, is injured, gone for a long time, promises an explanation. You barely get that. He comes back, they change his name, they change his gear, they change his music, and then they drop him like a bad habit.
Bearcat.
And I can pretty much, I feel like at this point with 90-something percent certainty tell you that the difference in those two situations is Vince McMahon looked at Charlotte Flair and said, I see something in this, and looked at Keith Lee and said, I don't know what we're doing here. Keep that one, get rid of that one.
Which is absolutely ridiculous, because if you look at Keith Lee and you can't see championship material, something is wrong with you. Vince McMahon is an old bastard, and he needs to go away. And Nick Khan is awful, and Tony Khan's better. That's the end of the show. All right. We're going to call it there.
Oh, did we go? Did we go an hour? Did I fucking call it
nope.
again? Did,
59 minutes. Hour? 59 minutes.
Oh,
all right.
You lying whore.
You guys.
You lying
you
whore.
You take it easy. We'll be back next week with an all-new PZ85 Plays on Tuesday, and we'll do this all again. Yeah. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this special PW. I got to get done within the next 30 seconds. So for myself, for Dalton Anthony, for Hunter Hendricks, we'll see you guys tonight later. All right, Dalton, go ahead.
Oh, you
Dalton,
bitch.
Go ahead.
Oh, you bitch. Go ahead.